It's like, you know, we always try to fill our lives with so much stuff, you know, try to self-help or get better, be a better pastor, be a better father, whatever, and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But when God said, I just want you to spend time with me, it was like, okay, God, I will.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, where we passionately are committed to offering encouragement and new ideas to those on the front lines of Christian ministry. At Romans 12 Ministries, we come alongside those leaders and families fighting for their emotional, physical, and spiritual health, for we firmly believe that healthy leaders lead healthy ministries, and where there are healthy churches and ministries, there will be transformation in communities. Welcome again to the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast.
When you go into a bookstore, what section do you go to first? The fiction section, the magazine rack, the bargain book section, maybe the Christian section? For me, I go right to the biography section. I'm especially drawn to the presidents, and I've been this way since my Nana gave me a book on the presidents when I was 8 years old. What has always intrigued me about leaders is how they organize their day. How do they get so much done in the same amount of time I have? What time do they go to bed? What time do they get up? What rituals do they follow each morning and each night? Basically, what are their rhythms of life? Today, we have Pastor David Hook from Christ Lutheran Vail Church in Vail, Arizona, sharing about a life rhythm that he adopted over 5 years ago that not only saved his ministry, but saved his life. Pastor David Hook, thanks for coming.
I'm so glad to be here.
It is really good to have you. Hey, one of the questions I like to start with is, as we highlight this series of stories of hope, is who in your life has modeled a sense of hope, and how has that impacted you, your leadership, and your faith over the years?
That is a great question. It's probably the question that a lot of people would answer about the same way, but for me, it was a pastor, and a great pastor. He was actually the one that baptized me and married me, and very, very great pastoral friend. He actually died this few months ago. And the reason why for me he just modeled hope is because I was a new Christian and he explained things in a way that made sense to me. But he made Christianity look fun. He was a fun person and he was larger than life and loved life. And I'm sorry, he's now with Jesus, but he just made it so much fun. That's who it would be.
Now that was you as a young person or an adult?
As a young person. I was probably in sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So another pastor.
Another pastor.
Awesome. Hey, your story of the pastorate is a little different than most. Can you share with us how you got into where you are now as a pastor?
Well, sure. I don't know how far to dig into it, but I'll just start. I grew up in a home that was marginally Christian. We went to Christian maybe three or four times when I was growing up. My mother decided to send me to a Christian school when I was a kid, and so I started going to that Christian school, and that's when I became baptized and started following Jesus. And that was very instrumental in my life. I thought I would be a pastor from that point on, just because of people that I met. Then it didn't work out to become a pastor. I ended up going into engineering instead and did engineering for 20 years. But that nudging by God to always think about what would your life be if you were a pastor. And so when I was in my mid-40s, I had this kind of a midlife crisis or midlife come to Jesus or a midlife understanding that if I continued on my same path, I would be doing the same thing over and over again, and what would I have to show for it? But I felt like God was really, really calling me with all the experience and who I am to go into the pastoral ministry. And I remember coming home to my wife one day and I said, I think God's calling me into the pastoral ministry. And I was waiting for her to throw something at me, but she looked at me and she said, you know what? It's about time. So that was a huge blessing and a confirmation in my life that maybe this was something I should pursue. So in my 40s, I gave up engineering. I went to the seminary and now I'm serving a church.
Wow. What if your wife wasn't supportive of that?
I don't know. I hadn't gotten that far.
Because that's remarkable. She needs to be applauded because, you know, here you are probably making some big bucks. You've been there for 20 years. And all of a sudden you're going.
She has said to me many times, she said, well, especially when we're in seminary living, you know, on mashed potatoes and gravy, she said, you know, this would have been a lot easier with four children if you'd have done this earlier in life.
What'd your kids think of that?
It's the best time of their life. They look back at it and they say, Dad, this was just so much fun. We are so grateful that you did this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that story. So I'm just weird. I love.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I God wired me that way, and I have always been fascinated with people's personal schedules. As a person that loves history, I love looking at presidential stories of how these presidents organize their day. You know, what time do they go to bed? What time do they wake up?
And so true. Yeah.
Yeah. How did they become so successful and balanced, or maybe unbalanced? But I've always looked at that. And you have a unique schedule, and I want you to share with our audience kind of your rhythm and how you take care of yourself.
Sure. I get up in the morning early, very early, and me and God, we spend time together, usually for a couple hours, and then I do a podcast, and then I go to work at the church for a while, and then I come home. I mean, spend time with my wife and then go to bed. That's kind of but you're probably more interested in the morning part of it.
I really am, because I remember talking to you.
Okay.
And so first of all, you get up like really early, and I think you think I'm weird.
Well, if you've ever read Winston Churchill's life, he would stay in bed till 10 o'clock in the morning, and people would bring him breakfast and he'd have coffee and all that. He wouldn't get out of bed till 10 o'clock. I am not that person. My whole life, I've always gotten up early. But I usually work, for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I get up and spend time with God. It's kind of an interesting story. I could tell you about it if you were interested in that.
Well, I think we would be interested.
Okay. Well, I have always been a person that's an early riser and do work. So I get up and it's a nice time that nobody around to do lots of work, quiet time. And I don't know, it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, our youth group went on a hike. And at that time, I was extremely overweight, but I didn't even want to go on the hike. But I said, I think I'll go on the hike. And so we went on an early morning hike, and it was just beautiful. There's just one of the most picture-perfect desert Arizona mornings you could ever possibly imagine. And went on that hike and made it through. And I remember sitting down thinking, like, why don't I do this every day? This is like, it filled me up like nothing's ever filled me up. So I said, I'm gonna do this more often. So I got back and I thought, okay, next Friday I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna hike. So next Friday, because you know Mondays and Fridays are a more relaxed day for me, and so I got up and went out for a hike, and it was just one of those other beautiful mornings. It was just like, man, this was great. I should do this more often. So started hiking and enjoyed it very much, and you know eventually got better at it. Lost a little bit of weight from that, but as an engineer, because I was an engineer for a number of years, you know, you never want time to go to waste, and I was giving up, you know, working time to do this hiking thing. And it's like, I got to do something. You know, I can't just hike. So I said, I'm going to listen to podcasts or books. It was books on tapes. It wasn't podcasts. It was books on tapes. And so I started listening to books on tape. And like, what books should I listen to? And I'm like, self-help books are probably the best books to listen to when you're hiking. So I listened to it, but they weren't really filling me. I mean, not as much as that first time that we went out and, you know, and I just was out there in God's presence. And so I said, no, I'm not going to listen to a book. Maybe I should listen to scripture. So I started listening to different scripture verses, books on tape, you know, listen to the Bible, but that really wasn't doing it either. Maybe it's the Psalms. Maybe it's the Psalms in the original language of Hebrew, because I have a little bit of experience in Hebrew. Maybe it's moral philosophers, you know, that Seneca or something like that means. And I remember one of these hikes, I turned off the podcast or the book I was listening to, and I said, God, what is it you want me to listen to? And it just had this incredible sense from God say, I don't want you to listen to anything. I just want you to be in my presence. And that was a very transformative thing for my life. It's like, you know, we always try to fill our lives with so much stuff, you know, try to self-help or get better, be a better pastor, be a better father, or whatever, and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But when God said, I just want you to spend time with me, it was like, okay, God, I will. So I put away all that stuff, and I just started being in the presence of God when in my walks, you know, seeing the sunrise, listening to the sounds of nature, listening to the crunch of the sand under your feet as you're walking. And I never went back. This started me on a spiritual journey that has been amazing in my life and very transformative in my life. I now go out to try to spend time with God every day, usually is an hour and a half to 2 hours every day where it's just me and God time. And the reason why it's so transformative is because it's this time where I feel the presence of God. But more than that, if you know anything about being a pastor, it's a hard job. It's an extremely hard job. And when you are a pastor, there's just so many struggles and difficulties and difficult people and difficult situations and decisions that have to be made and that sort of thing. And I remember for 45 years, even as an engineer, it's the same thing. I mean, just how do I make these decisions and which people am I going to hurt and all that sort of thing. But when you spend time with God in the morning, He fills you with more of Himself and He says, listen, my friend, my son, I love you. I put you in this position. You are going to make great decisions. Sometimes you'll make horrible decisions, but you will never stop being the one I created, and I love you. And I get this feeling every day, and it strengthens me, and no matter what the day has in store for me, if I make good decisions or bad decisions, or have great meetings or horrible meetings, that refreshment every morning gives me strength so that it carries me through the rest of the day. It has completely transformed my ministry.
Wow. Now, was it a crisis or a tipping point at this when you started this? And then how did it really transform your ministry?
Well, we are a new church, so we're always starting new programs. We're in the middle of a building, you know, capital campaign building. Once I made this change, two things I'll say. First is once I made this change, I have more time in my day than I've ever had. And I don't know how that's possible. I mean, you ask me, if you put on paper, yeah, but you added an hour and a half to 2 hours every day. It's like, how is that possible? But for some reason, just spending that time with God reordered my priorities and what I thought was important and what stuff I could let go. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we spend our time on is ego stuff. And when you know completely that God's going to love you no matter what and that you are His beloved child, the ego kind of goes out. You don't need ego anymore. And so then you really do go like, what? Okay, God, what is it you want me to do? And so you do those things. And it turns out you have plenty of time to do the things that He wants you to do. And you stop doing the things that He doesn't want you to do. So really, I know this sounds crazy, but I would work so many hours a day. I don't work as many hours a day because I spend an hour and a half to 2 hours with God every day. It's amazing. But then to the second part of your, you know, point there, a question in... you also end up saying, okay, God, how do you really want me to lead this church? Like, what really things do you want me to do? And I remember God saying, listen, you need to make some major structural changes in this organization. You need to do things a little bit differently. Well, churches don't like change at all, but I made some pretty substantial changes. I mean, I worked through people but there were a lot of people very upset with me in those changes. And there are a lot of people hurt by those changes. I mean, I knew people would be upset with me. I knew that change was difficult. I knew all that. But what I didn't realize was how much hurt the changes would cause in people's lives. I mean, little changes, but change is change, right? And I'm a pastor. The last thing I ever want to do is hurt anybody. And I remember going out, I walk every morning, right? And I have my places that I go. Sometimes I have places I go where I sit down and watch the sunrise. And I remember sitting there saying, God, I really messed up. I don't know. I was hurting. I mean, like really painful hurting that I caused so much pain in some people's lives. God said, you're still my beloved child. I still care for you. You did the right thing. You did what I called you to do. And you will get through this. And honestly, if I had not developed this relationship earlier, this rhythm of spending time with God and then meeting the day, I don't know how I would have survived this change and this colossal, I don't know, just colossal failure. I mean, in some senses, that was a colossal failure because I hurt so many people. I guess I didn't prepare them enough for it. We live in a sinful world, so I don't know where how many blame is on me. If I did not have this rhythm in life, I don't know if I'd be in the ministry. I don't know if I'd be still alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's get to specifics.
Okay.
What does that look like for you? What time do you do this?
I get up typically at 4. I don't have an alarm. But I've always gotten up at 4 because I had a paper route when I was a kid, and I think I've always done that. And then I go out from about 4 to 5:30 or 6. I'm usually back by 6. Then I prepare for my podcast, which starts at 7. And I do that from 7 to 7:30, and then I post-process some of it from 7:30 to 8. At 8, I go to the church. We have a school on our campus, so I'm there to greet the kids every day at 8 o'clock. Know them all by name, say hi, hope you have a great day. That usually goes to about 8:30. And then I go into the office and work probably until about 2:30 or 3. Then I go home and I take a nap. I take a nap every day.
I love naps too.
Oh, my word. I just, because that's, I've always taken a nap. I know that's weird. People look at me strange, but pretty much my whole life I've taken a nap. And then I get up from the nap and I'm refreshed and I do more work. And then usually about 4:30 or 5, I'll cook dinner. My wife comes home from her work. We'll have dinner together, and then we spend the evening together. And sometimes I have evening meetings, Zoom calls, and stuff like that. But usually by 9:30 or 10, I'm in bed.
Okay. So that hour and a half when you're walking.
Yes.
No headphones.
Nope.
Just walking.
Just walking.
Singing, praying.
Nope. Just spending time with God. Mm-hmm. God, this is me and you time. I mean, if you love somebody, you spend time with them, right? I mean, that's, if you love your wife, you don't turn on your headphones and listen to, music. I mean, you spend time with her, right? I mean, it's like same thing. I think God wants the same thing. I know God wants the same thing. He wants us just to be present with Him and to spend time with Him.
But we're living in a very loud, busy world.
We are. Yeah. And I lived that world myself. Yeah. I mean, you're not being productive if you're not busy doing something all the time, right? When you're an engineer, you're selling your time to people. So you have billable hours. And, you know, the goal is to have as many billable hours as you can, right? So, you know, there's typically 2,080 hours in a year. And so if you could bill 2,500 or 3,000 hours, then you're really making the company some profits, stuff like that. So you want to be productive. You want to, you got to get stuff done and all that sort of thing. But no, God's not that. That's not God's way. God's way is, no, spend time with me. Spend time with people. Enjoy who they are. You know, it's not about how many hours of billable work you have. It's how much you do for me in the kingdom.
It's interesting. There was Dallas Willard, who's mm-hmm. one of my heroes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, really icon when it comes to philosophy and Christian theologian. And somebody asked him if you could just share one word of who Jesus was. His response was relaxed. Isn't that interesting?
That is. And so he totally is. You look at all the Gospels. He moseyed from place to place. When Lazarus died, he didn't just like, okay, got to get there. He's like, I'll get there eventually. Man, I mean, how many of us pastors, you know, somebody's in the hospital, okay, I got to get there right now. I mean, that's just how we live, right?
Right, yeah.
But God has his own timeline.
This, in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg,
mm-hmm.
he says, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hurry is not just a disordered schedule. Hurry is a disordered heart. Would you agree or disagree?
Oh, man, that is so good. I like that. I have to ponder that. I mean, I completely agree with that.
So I'm thinking of our listeners right now.
Okay.
Going, okay, yeah, it sounds really good, but you don't know my world. I've got four kids. I've got this job that's very demanding, and that maybe might be good for you, Pastor, spending an hour and a half. What would you say to them?
Well, I've been where you are. I was an engineer with four kids, trying to balance work, you know, volunteering at church, all that stuff, and I didn't do it well. I really wish I knew then what I know now. One of the problems in the workforce is we have this thing called a 40-hour work week, and we're expected to be at a certain place, certain time. The world structures our life so much, and you have to follow those structures if you're going to survive in this world. But my advice would be, if you can find any time to be in the presence of God, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes, take it. And don't just pour your heart out to him. Say, these are the things I'm struggling with, and can you help me with this? And let God's power just come into your life. And more than anything, just have that sense. I mean, I don't know if everybody gets the same experience, but for me, just coming to the incredible, strong realization that I was his, that everything in life that he created was for me, that I'm just the way he wants me. I just wonder what it would have been like if I wasn't, if I knew that back when I was struggling with all that. So that's my advice. I can't say I did it well I did spend, time with God, but not the same. It's not the same. Yeah.
So baby steps.
Baby steps would be good. Yeah. You find time to spend time with God away from everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's something about movement. There's something about being outside. There's something about walking. There's something about, just listening.
Well, I don't think it's a mistake that when God created us, he put us in a garden. That is where we find God. I mean, I remember my mother had a plaque that said something, but when one's nearer the heart of God in a garden than any place else on earth. And I just think that's so true. I think when you are in his creation, you feel his presence because you see everything that he created all around you. And you can, there's just something about, for me, the healing of creation that I talk about a lot too, because I think being out in his wilderness is very healing.
Mm-hmm. I think people are tired. They're tired of being busy, and they also need some hope. And so I would encourage our listeners to take this and see what God is doing, because I think there is some time in the day to create a new rhythm, to actually have some self-care. And so, Pastor Hook, if they wanted to just write you or get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, the email address is david@hookcentral.com. And I'm the pastor of a church in Vail, and the Vail Church is the website address, christlutheranvail.org. And there you can get to all of the stuff that we produce. And I do have much of this on our content, so you can look for different podcasts and YouTube sites and things like that.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, you are a good friend, and I'm so happy to spend this time with you, and I thank you for the opportunity to share my life with you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today at another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast sponsored by Romans 12 Ministries. For more information on Romans 12 Ministries, visit us at romans12ministries.org or give us a call at 520-982-5877. May we all continue to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.